Jason, after the first victory Monday in what seems like forever, the Bears move on to play the Raiders. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. It's Jason Leisure. Jason, I was trying to think the last time the Bears had a Monday that it was as enjoyable as the one this week. It certainly wasn't the day after the Packers game because the season was over and they were starting a coaching search. It was probably then, if you go back to their most recent win, it was the day after they beat the Jaguars in London, and that was close to a year ago.
That was good timing for us. That was great. Going into the bye week, everything's cool, everything's fine. Enjoy a week over in Europe, and then everything went horribly wrong.
When Jay Cutler got his DUI while I was going through the tunnel, that prompted some work. But beyond that, yes, it was a lovely week. The Bears haven't had many lovely weeks in the last year or two or three, and we'll see whether they can kind of continue this momentum.
Well, that's the whole point,
right?
Because that's the point. When you look back to last year and talk about them coming off playing the Jags and Caleb lighting them up and the offense. Shane Waldron called a great game, by the way. Mm-hmm. Shane Waldron's best call in that game, I think that Caleb might have thrown an interception or an incomplete pass on a play that worked really well. And none of that was sustained whatsoever. I mean, that was over like a month later, I think Shane Waldron was fired, maybe less. So every Bears fan, and actually, we do this too, I'm sure. I'm sure that you do this. I know I do. You go through their schedule at the beginning of the season, and you're trying to figure out what are they going to be, and you do it by marking W's and L's next to the games. I mean, who didn't put a W next to this game for the Bears going into the season? And who wouldn't this week, especially the Bears fans? Remember Monday, Ben Johnson brought up, he just unprompted in his opening two sentences brought up that they were a road underdog. Mm-hmm. They're a road favorite as of this recording. It flipped from Raiders -2 to Bears -1.5 last I saw. So a lot of money coming in, a lot of people thinking that the Bears win this game. But to your point, while the Raiders are not very good right now, there are individual pieces over there that make you think they have some potential and there are some concerns. Let's start defensively.
Max Crosby's really good. Ben Johnson said on Wednesday that he considers him a top five defender in the league, and that would get no argument from me.
Well, but Pat, you know the Bears offensive line, they're fine now.
Oh, they're good, yeah.
Yeah.
Braxton Jones.
Everything's cool now.
Banged up Darnell Wright. Yeah, they're fine. That's something that the Bears are going to have to be aware of. You know, it's like when they faced Aiden Hutchinson 2 weeks ago, and Hutchinson wound up getting his first sack of the season and wrecking a whole lot of stuff. And we can get into it, maybe we will later in the week, Jason, about maybe the best way to keep Max Crosby from killing you is to run the ball well and be in good down and distance situations, all that sort of
thing. You want another 10-minute drive?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, yes. But, you know, he's really good on defense. And, you know, the offense to me gets all the attention because they're maybe not quite elite, but they're young and they're getting better. And, I mean, to me, that starts with Brock Bowers, the tight end, who I think might be the best tight end in football already in just his second season. You know, he was somebody who went 4 picks after Roma Dunze and has just been really lights out. And then, you know, you've got Ashton Gentry, who was a top 5 pick this year out of Boise State at running back. And you've got Geno Smith, who we talk about this all the time. He, at the very least, knows where the answers are. You know, nobody would confuse him with a top 12 quarterback, but he's a veteran, and you know he has just as good a chance to light up the Bears defense as Caleb Williams does the Raiders defense.
If you don't get pressure on Geno Smith, and you have lapses in the second and third level of your defense, he'll find it.
Yeah,
I mean he will. Russell Wilson will, by the way, who just got benched.
Right.
So will Matt Stafford, Joe Flacco, Dak Prescott, all these guys that are kind of on the back end that aren't what they used to be, they can do that no problem. Geno Smith can do that no problem if you leave, as Patrick said, if you leave answers for him, he will find them.
And, you know, the Bears did, I thought, a really good job with Dak Prescott. And part of the reason, though, was that the Cowboys were running the ball so well. I think Javonte Williams averaged 7.5 yards a carry. that in a way it took the ball out of Dak's hands, and maybe that's okay. And by the time he was throwing every down when they were chasing points in the fourth quarter, then you saw what, you know, we talked about, which is kind of the way the other half lives, which is your defense can just rush the passer. Then you have a chance. I don't think that the quarterback the Bears are going to see this week is better than Dak Prescott is, but he sure as heck is good enough if the Bears defense is going to play poorly. And I think they've probably played if they've played six halves of football right now, what would you say? They've played three good halves? Two good halves?
Three, yeah. So, the first half against the Vikings and then both against the Cowboys?
Yeah. That's what I would think. And then when you look at
Geno Smith, by the way, an 84 passer rating, but just last week against Washington, he was 289 yards and 132.7 passer rating.
Yeah, and we talk about veteran quarterbacks who know where the ball's going. Marcus Mariota just hung 41 on the Raiders, and he was just 15 of 21 for 207 yards. Like, nothing too sexy.
They ran a lot, I think, right?
Yeah, and he got them in.
As they should have.
He got them in really good position. They ran 32 times against the Raiders.
What was their yards per carry, like
6.3. Yeah. So, this may be a DeAndre Swift game. This may be a DJ Moore out of the backfield game. If the Raiders are going to defend like that, I think Ben Johnson's going to spend all week trying to draw up some creative stuff, blocking-wise and formation-wise. To get what they want there. And, that, more than anything, is Ben's superpower, I think. I think that's what he is best at, is a really creative rushing attack, and then you throw off of that.
Yeah. The question is, when you said maybe this could be a DeAndre Swift game, is, like, can DeAndre Swift give you a DeAndre Swift game? And who's going to help him other than DJ Moore? DJ Moore is not playing running back as a gadget anymore. Mm-hmm. DJ Moore is playing running back.
Right.
Because it's needed, because there isn't necessarily anyone else, and that's behind DeAndre Swift. And DeAndre Swift is a specific type of running back. Mm-hmm. He's not Jahmyr Gibbs, for example, who can do a little bit of everything, or even David Montgomery, the other running back for the Lions, that can do multiple things. DeAndre Swift kind of does one style of running, and the Bears don't have anybody else that does the other style.
This didn't come up the other day, and it should have, but when you see CeeDee Lamb play running back and get torn to the ground on a play that came back, I think because there were offsetting penalties, he gets torn to the ground, and he's got a high ankle sprain, and he's out for a couple of weeks. Does that give you any sort of pause with screwing around with DJ Moore that much?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What happens if DJ Moore is out for a couple weeks? I know everyone's excited about Rome Odunze, but you need them both.
Right.
DJ Moore is a borderline number one wide receiver for most teams. He was your number one the last couple of seasons. You need him and Rome. If DJ Moore is out, who's... I don't know if Luther Burden can step into that role at this point. I'm not sure...
I think part of the reason DJ I think part of the reason DJ is in that role is because DJ is very intelligent when it comes to learning plays, playbooks, mm-hmm. all of that, and that they gave it to him because he could handle it.
Such a good runner.
Yeah.
You see it when he catches short passes. He's such a good runner.
Right. And Luther Burden is still learning how to be a receiver. And I think moving him anywhere but there would be problematic. But it just makes you think, like, the Bears are patching together these options behind DeAndre Swift, and I think they're playing with fire a little bit when it comes to using DJ Moore that much on rushing downs.
Totally agree with you. And, by the way, problem of their own making. I don't want to hear any of the complaints about, in the draft, we were just one or two picks away from the guy that we wanted in this round or that round, and they got taken by somebody else right when we were hoping they would fall to you. If you don't prioritize something, then you probably won't get what you want out of it. And they went tight end and wide receiver with their first two picks, leaving them forced to address glaring needs on the offensive and defensive lines. And now you're sitting there hoping you get the right guy at the right time at running back. Whereas if you had hit your needs first, then you have a second-round pick you can spend on a running back, and now you're not having this whole conversation about it's DeAndre Swift and the practice squad out there, so we better put DJ Moore in the backfield.
the Raiders kind of have the opposite problem. Is they jump at Gentry. I think he went fifth overall in the draft. And they jump at him even though their roster isn't really fully formed. You know, and I think there's a thought out there that the only time you should draft a running back high is when it's kind of the missing piece, which you could have argued that that's more the case in Chicago than it is in Las Vegas for sure.
Yeah.
And so now you've got Gentry and you've got 4 years of a rookie deal for him to really make an impact. And, you know, it's really, really early. But he's averaging 3.1 yards a carry.
Yeah, but you're still scared of him.
Yeah, oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
3.1 yards per carry. I don't know if anybody would have thought 3 weeks, three games into his career, he'd be at 144 total yards.
Did you just do that math? And oh, no.
No, I have it in front of me. I have the Raiders stat sheet in front of me. But you still, I mean, 3.1 yards a carry, but this is still very much on your and Ben Johnson's radar.
It should be. And you heard Ben talk about just, you know, how this guy will run around you and then he'll just run over you. And how, you know, he certainly noticed him at Boise State. I think you could argue that he was the best running back to come out of college since who? I mean,
Robinson?
Yeah, maybe Bijan Robinson. I mean, it's a short list in the last 20 years of guys who were just surefire. Oh, yeah, that's the best running
like
back.
Like a Saquon Barkley type where you're like, this is absolutely worth a top 10 pick.
And with Barkley, remember, like, he went second. He wound up being worth it, but not for the team that drafted him.
Right.
And, you know, the Raiders might run that risk if the rest of their offense doesn't keep up with Gentry. Jason, what did you make of Caleb Williams' performance on Sunday that we can extrapolate and say, all right, we know this will work against the Raiders. We know this will work against the bye week tough opponent, by the way. And then after that, you know, the Commanders – and some better teams.
Bye week's going to be a tough opponent for some people on the depth chart, I think, because that's supposed to be the big reassess for Ben Johnson about who should be playing. I think Caleb Williams lit up a bad defense, and if that is going to be something you can expect going forward, is that when he plays bad defenses, he's going to cook them. That is something that the Bears couldn't have counted on with Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields. So that is a step. That is like one mile marker on the road to becoming franchise quarterback. That would be good progress for him. But throw out his stats from that game. Don't get consumed with NFC Offensive Player of the Week statistics from that game and look at building blocks. Where are foundational elements to his games that, to your point, Patrick, will be there no matter who they play? And I think no pre-snap penalties is really one right there, because that had been a problem not just in the first two games, but for the last few months in practice for him and for the Bears offense. So better command, everything kind of just better pre-snap process from calling the play in the huddle with authority and clarity to getting everybody to the line early in the play clock to being on the same page with everyone in terms of cadence and shifts and alignment and things like that, so nobody is there's no illegal formation type thing. Great. Caleb Williams playing fundamentally sound with his feet pointed where he's throwing.
Great.
Which I saw it on the touchdown pass to Burden on the flea flicker and the touchdown pass to Odunze. And he had another big strike right before the pass to Odunze to Loveland downfield where you could see both feet pointed exactly where they should be. I think also, just the ability to understand how he can deceive a defense with both his feet and his eyes. That's something that he can keep doing. On the touchdown pass to DJ Moore, fourth and goal from the 4 yard line, you see him do both. He's going to his right, getting away from potential pressure. He's looking at DeAndre Swift to the far right, and then cut throws back to DJ Moore. The whole time, he is not telegraphing at all where he's going with that ball. And three defenders for Dallas kind of go toward DeAndre Swift and leave DJ Moore open. But part of why there's that space for DJ Moore to be open is because you got to be worried about this guy running.
Right.
And that is not going to be and should never be the engine of his game like it was for Justin Fields. It should be like it is for Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, where they use that as a weapon to create space, and if they really need it, they can run for 9 yards on 3rd and 8. But Caleb Williams bringing that threat to things, I think that's something that Ben Johnson must have loved when he was evaluating this as a potential job. Jared Goff's a better quarterback than Caleb Williams today. Caleb Williams would have a fine career if he's able to match at any point what Jared Goff has been doing. Jared Goff does a million things better than Caleb Williams does right now. Jared Goff can't run at all. That's not his game. Caleb Williams adds this new ripple to Ben Johnson's offense and play calling with his mobility. And Ben Johnson can sit there and as a mathematician and as a tactician, figure out ways to use that to his advantage to exploit defenses. So all of those things, throw out, forget almost 300 yards, the 140 passer rating. If Caleb Williams keeps doing those things, I think he is going to play well against anybody.
And I think if the people around him do those things too, they give him a chance. You know, you listen to Ben Johnson talking about how, you know, Caleb's dropback is, you know, 1-2-3 hitch. Okay, is the first option open? You know, 3-4-5 hitch. All right, how about the second? And when he's got to run for his life because the Bears can't block for him, that all gets thrown out of whack. When it's not, it is just as you described, a very deliberate passing attack that then, oh, if I got to go, I got to go. And that is just something we never saw with Justin Fields. And ironically, I was looking at the last Bears offensive player to win NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Do you want to guess who it is?
Cade McNown. Jim McMahon. Walter Payton. Oh, wait, no, you said quarterback.
Yeah. It was a wide receiver. I didn't say quarterback.
Oh, you really? Offensive player. Okay. You really want me to guess? Was it DJ Moore against the Commanders?
Very good. Yes. Okay. It was 2 years ago. And
when you ask me to guess something and I know the answer or think I know the answer, I try to guess way off for effect. So then you can tell me how wrong I am and be like, no, it was DJ Moore.
No, it wasn't Red Grange. Right. Come on. But that was that game. It was the night that Dick Butkus died. The Bears snap a losing streak. Thursday Night Football. And that was probably the best passing game Justin Fields ever had for them, right? And it's been a long time.
Justin had two really good games in a row there. But Justin Fields, when you say, you know, we never saw him be able to kind of click through the offense like you're describing with Caleb Williams going through his progressions. Justin Fields played behind horrible offensive lines. And yeah. Caleb Williams played behind a horrible offensive line last season. This looks different so far. It looked somewhat improved the first 2 weeks. It looked really good against Dallas, who didn't have Micah Parsons. We'll see how they hold up against Max Crosby in a pretty good defensive front with the Raiders. One of the other people, when we talk about people on the Raiders that give you cause for concern if you're the Bears, Brock Bowers, obviously the tight end, that's another one, especially if you don't have TJ Edwards. But Patrick, one of the people you're concerned about over there is Pete Carroll. And I think people really just were so wrong in the offseason, kind of dismissing him as a head coaching candidate when he wanted to get back into it because he's 74. That age is different for every person. There's nothing about Pete Carroll that tells me the game's passed him by, he can't do this. And Ben Johnson was clearly the right choice for the Bears. I thought that at the time. I think it now. I wouldn't go back and change anything. Had they not been able to get him and they hired Pete Carroll, I would have thought that's a good hire. That's a guy that knows what it is supposed to look like. Matt Eberflus came in here as a supposed CEO-style coach and then couldn't do any of that. Pete Carroll knows how to do that as well as anybody. So I don't see Pete Carroll in his career and in this year coaching a lot of teams that are a joke.
For all the candy manufacturers in Chicago, do you think they were really sad that gum sales probably would have skyrocketed had Pete Carroll come?
Just think of
the gum he blows through.
What if he'd have brought in Marshawn Lynch as like the running backs coach? Then the Skittles?
We feel your pain. Does Wrigley still make gum here? Anyway, we feel your pain. Gum company. I understand fans' initial reaction sometimes with older coaches that they sit there and they don't want a quote-unquote retread. But the retread nature of Pete Carroll is, he's the greatest coach in the history of the Seattle Seahawks. Went to two Super Bowls with them. Was probably the greatest coach in the history of USC football. Won a national championship with them. This isn't some guy who just kicks around and bounces from job to job. This is somebody who has been, in at least the second half of his career, just an absolute statue or man worthy of a statue at his last two places. And I think that when you're a fan of the Bears, you can't hate the idea of retreads either. Because you know what they've never done? Hired somebody who's really done this before. They hired John Fox once. That's the list, unless you want to count a player coach from the 30s. So every coach they've ever brought in has been somebody who's never been a head coach before. I would have been absolutely okay with trying something different.
And so here's the thing you need to think about if you're listening to this. Pat, what percentage of our listeners would you guess are Bears fans?
90%?
99% probably. There's probably very few people that bother listening to something like this if they're not Bears fans.
There are a couple Jason, just Jason fans.
You think so? Like my parents? What percentage of the Bears fans, like what percentage of them love Ben Johnson right now at the time we're recording this?
100%.
Pretty high. You have to remember that as much as you like Ben Johnson, and as much as I think Ben Johnson has done a good job and will continue to do a good job, he is outclassed going into these matchups against Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame coaches. So when you see Pete Carroll on the other sideline and you see Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, those guys are far more accomplished and have advantages over Ben Johnson in the coaching head-to-head matchup. Ben Johnson's three games into his career. He's got to rise to that level. He's got to start taking those guys down, not the other way around. So Pete Carroll, as much as I know everyone loves Ben Johnson, and he seems incredibly smart and capable, and I would bet on him having a good coaching career right now, he doesn't know all these things that Pete Carroll knows.
Ben said in week one that it was his mistake that he didn't pivot to a different sort of play calling when the Vikings were running or were blitzing less than they thought they would, right? You know, Ben, you know, said, I got to run the ball more. Ben has been open about, you know, concerns he has with his own play calling.
He said going into the year in a Sun Times interview, he said, I'm going to make a lot of mistakes this year.
Yeah.
And he was totally up. And he also said, unlike the previous coach, mm-hmm. I'm going to own up to those publicly, no problem.
Right. And I do appreciate that. I think that that's what leaders do, and especially to do it publicly. I think leaders also call out people publicly, which Ben has done too. But yeah, I mean, we've already seen cases against less accomplished coaches, Jason, in which the Bears have been at, you know, some sort of strategic, I don't want to say disadvantage, but Ben has been outfoxed a couple of times.
Well, by very good coaches, though. By Kevin O'Connell, who's miles ahead of him.
Yeah.
And by Dan Campbell, who is so far ahead of him that Ben Johnson was his underling.
Yeah, but neither are as accomplished as Pete Carroll, is what I'm trying to say. And, yeah, so there's a chance that the Raiders have the advantage when it comes to coaching. Now, just like you said, I think Bears fans are pretty thrilled with the guy they've got. And mm-hmm. at least mm-hmm. at this point, and who knows, maybe that changes from week to week. But
Ben's got to level up. I mean, there's very few coaches on this schedule where you'd sit here and say, Ben Johnson has done more than them.
Right.
That doesn't mean that he can't become as good as those guys or beat them this week. But Ben Johnson's three games into his career. Pete Carroll's like three decades into his career.
We've got picks here, Jason. The Team Sun Times, most of you all, and I'm going to say you all, have taken the Bears in this game. What's your score, Jason?
I don't remember. Do you have it?
I can pull it up, yes.
I think it was like Bears by a touchdown, like 33-26 or something like that. It's a game where you would kind of bet on there being a lot of scoring. You would think there would be a lot of scoring. I thought Dallas was going to score more last week. I thought it was going to be a really closer, high-scoring game. That Bears defense is still just a little bit of a, not a little bit, but like a significant concern.
You're at 33-24, 9 points by the Bears. I'm going to take the Raiders, Jason, and I'm going to take them 27-26.
So how would that happen?
27-26?
No. What are you thinking through is the sequence that leads to the Raiders beating the Bears in this game?
I think winning on the road is hard. And I think we forget every year that winning on the road is hard. I think the Bears will have an advantage that they don't have in a lot of places, because I think the stadium's probably going to be, what do you think, half Bears fans?
Bears fans travel everywhere we go, not just to the vacation destinations, but more so to the vacation destinations like Phoenix and Vegas. The thing that's different there mm-hmm. is I don't know how great of a home crowd they have to begin with to kind of push back against the invasion.
I'll let you be the one to tell the Raider fan that they're bad fans, because they will just put you on their spiky shoulder pads and carry you around like some sort of trophy. Yes, you're right, though. It's not known as a particularly loud environment. I think that
it's because of Vegas. It's not because of the The black hole.
Wouldn't that be great if instead of music, they just flash this on? It's like, can we just keep it down a little bit? We had a long night. Yeah, I think that the path for the Raiders to get there is to run the ball well, to not lean on Geno too much, and to wait for the Bears offense to make a mistake or two. I'm more than willing to be proven wrong. And, you know, especially if TJ Edwards or Kyler Gordon can return, that'll give the Bears defense a little bit of a boost. I just think that kind of until we see consistency from this team, it's hard for me to bet on consistency. Fair?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, yeah, their whole season is not just the Dallas game.
No.
Those other games counted too, where they fell apart at home in the fourth quarter and where they just got the doors blown off them in Detroit.
And again, you know, the Raiders going all the way across the country and losing a game by 17 to a decent Commanders team, even with a backup quarterback, I don't think that's disqualifying. I don't think that that means that they're one of the three worst teams in the league either. Anyway, Jason, we will be there in Vegas, and we will record from there when the game is over. Until then, you can follow us at the Sun Times, social media, on social media, in social media, and also, if you live in town, go pick up a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.